variety of careers, including owner of a recording studio, his most notable client being Stevie Ray Vaughan, which I just found out when I read this, and that is incredible. Disappointed he never told me that, actually. He was an owner of an Indian artifact shop, a graduate gemologist, and vice president at Harris Jewelers, and the pastoral care pastor of Only Believe Church. He dedicated nearly 30 years of selfless service to the members of Only Believe and their extended families, leaving an indelible mark on this region of Ohio and into distant parts of the world. After moving to Ohio and joining Only Believe Church, he found and lassoed Regina, the love of his life. They were married on June 14, 1992. All who had the opportunity to watch Ed and Regina interact knew their love was deep and real, a beautiful picture of the redemptive work of God and a model of the mutual love and respect a couple founded in Christ should have. Those who met Brother Ed quickly discovered that he had a big heart. He genuinely cared for people and was concerned for them. He freely distributed kindness and showed up for others even when there was a high personal cost. He would take emergency calls at 2 and 3 a.m. in the morning, heading out to show support where it was needed most in times of crisis. He thoughtfully personalized everything from encouraging one-on-one messages to hours of preparation for each funeral he officiated. He was relational, and he made it a point to speak life into others and live out a faith that was nothing short of inspirational. A favorite quote of his was, "Don't worry about tomorrow. God is already there." Brother Ed was an avid reader. He devoured information and retained it in ways that made those around him marvel. He was passionate about jewelry and cooking, and he was a collector at heart. Coins, knives, guns, Indian artifacts, and more excited him, and he rarely passed up an opportunity to attend an auction. If he was known for one thing, it would have to be his painstakingly prepared world-famous chili. He'd often say, "Texas chili is the only chili," and don't get him started on when people use beans in soup, what the rest of us call chili. His gourmet Texan chili was the highlight of many special events and home groups. A few things we'll never forget about Brother Ed include his disdain for the word pantyhose. He could never settle himself on why anyone would want to wear one garment that had both your feet and your rear in it. He firmly believed no movie, and especially not a Western, should have singing in it. And he was a quick draw with the remote to change the channel when his movie turned into a musical. A true and passionate follower of Christ, Brother Ed deeply desired to obey and please God. When he lived in Austin, Texas, he encountered God, and his life was forever changed. He was sitting on his back porch, high and hallucinating that a SWAT team was coming up the hill to get him. He called out to God, "If you will take this off of me, I will serve you the rest of my days." Instantly, the high left, and he lost all urge for drugs and alcohol. Ed kept his promise and clung to Psalm 71:18. "Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come." God honored his prayer and used him to touch a generation. Brother Ed received his eternal reward on February 26, 2024. He is survived by the objects of his deep love and affection, his wife of 31 years, Regina Ingram, daughter Stephanie Beyer, and grandchildren Lucas and Antonia Beyer. To the moment of his passing, Brother Ed's greatest prayer was to see all of his family and friends saved. In thinking about the end of his life, he once wrote this message, which we believe is the most fitting way to encapsulate his heart for all of us. "We are only in this world for a short time. Love your family and friends. You never know when you might not have them. Be kind to everyone. It costs you nothing. The only way we will see each other again is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sins. If you ask him, he will do it. Let us be together in heaven. Will you take a moment to reach out to Jesus now?" We're going to start off by having a worship song. It's one of Brother Ed's favorites. So if you would just stand and worship with us, we'd appreciate it.
starts changing. Oh, I'm gonna worship till I mean every word. 'Cause the way I feel and the fear I'm facing doesn't change who you are or what you deserve. I give you my worship, and you still deserve it. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song. I pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song. You are worthy. And I'm gonna live like my King is risen. Gonna preach to my soul that you've already won. And even though I can't see it, I'm gonna keep believing that every promise you made is as good as done. Yes, I give you my worship, and you still deserve it. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song. I pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy, you're worthy, Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy, you're worthy, Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy, you're worthy, Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy, you're worthy, Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy, you're worthy.
To you.
deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all.
Can be seated. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Tim LeMaster. I'm the youth pastor here at Only Believe, and I had the privilege of working alongside Brother Ed for the past 10 years. But I've actually known Brother Ed a little bit longer than that, and I'd like to share with you some of my core memories with Brother Ed. The first memory I have of Brother Ed, I had freshly graduated out of our youth ministry here and was out in the lobby of this building talking to some people, and I don't remember the exact details of our conversation, but it had to do with college sports teams, and somebody mentioned Texas. Now, see, I'm a Tennessee Volunteer fan, and if you're not into the sports world, the Texas color is orange, and the Tennessee Vol color is orange, and at that point in my life, for whatever reason, I had a deep hatred of Texas orange. And so as we're talking about this and somebody mentions Texas, I said, I just really hate Texas. Now, at this point in my life, I knew who he was, but I'd never had a conversation with him. And all I feel is a tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and there's Brother Ed, you know, and he's a bigger man. This was quite a while ago, so younger, you know. He says, young man, you can say whatever you want to. If I hear you say another bad thing about Texas, I'm going to introduce you to the judge. And I was really confused because I was like, this guy's going to take me to court over saying something bad about Texas. This is intense. And then another man in our church who knew Brother Ed and me, he came over and he could see my confusion. And he said, I'm going to guess you don't know who the judge is. And I said, no, I don't. And he said, it's his really big gun. So our relationship started off on the wrong foot. Because my second core memory of Brother Ed is one where he stopped me in the hallway of the church. Again, I'm fairly young, right out of the youth ministry here. And he stops me and he says, I've been watching you. He's already threatened me once. I'm a little nervous. I've been watching you. I was like, yes. He said, you drive pretty recklessly and fast through the church parking lot after service. I'm going to need you to stop. There was no gun threat this time, but I wasn't going to risk it. I said, yes, sir, and walked away and went, who is this guy? My third memory with Brother Ed. I'd been hired by the church at this point. I'm still in my early 20s. Been hired by the church, and let's just say I didn't really take care of myself back then. To use the word homeless would be pretty accurate in describing the way that I looked. And I like to wear flip-flops everywhere, including to work. And so one day I'm at the church. I'm walking through the church hallway in the offices, and he stops me and he says, young man. I said, yes, sir. Couldn't help but notice you're wearing flip-flops to work. Yes, sir. Shouldn't do that. And we had about a 30-minute conversation about flip-flops and work that ended with me thinking this is kind of a joke. And so I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll only wear them once a week to work from now on. And he said, okay. That was the end of the conversation. A couple of weeks later, apparently he'd been watching still because he noticed I wore flip-flops to work twice that week. And so he comes up to me and he says, now, Brother Tim, I guess I know what kind of man you are. I was so confused. What are we talking about? He goes, you promised me that you were only going to wear flip-flops once a week to work. I guess you're a liar. And then he turned and walked away. Have you guys ever heard about Florida Man? You know what I'm talking about, Florida Man? You see it in news articles and stuff. I have some examples for you in case you're unaware. It goes something like this. Florida man accused of attempting to steal plane crashes into light pole. Right? And you're like, it's Florida man. It's just this common term they use to describe people who do stupid things in Florida. Here's another example. Florida man carries around giant shark, promotes fishing to flowers. These things really happened in Florida. They're capturing those. They're on news and newspapers and all that stuff. One other example. Florida man arrested for making too many 911 calls. He's made 50 calls so far in 2024, including 5 times in a single morning. These headlines have perpetuated the legend of Florida man. Some people refer to Florida man as the world's worst superhero. And it's honestly, if you read enough of these stories, you start to think this is what people in Florida are like. Well, Brother Ed, in my mind, he's Texas man. Hear me out. This is what the articles would look like. Texas man threatens to shoot young teenager after making comments about hating Texas. Texas man criticizes young teen's driving ability at church. Texas man calls young adult liar for wearing flip-flops more than once a week. You know, it's just the legend is building. Put it simply, Brother Ed is what I think of when I think of Texas. But Brother Ed is also what I think of when I think of a Christian. I had the privilege of going with Brother Ed on visitations to homes and to hospitals. I got to see on many occasions how much Brother Ed actually cared about people. One of the places I saw this compassion at its greatest was when he did what I'm doing right now. He would officiate funerals. His care for people and his desire to make everyone's worst day a little bit better was always evident. He would share stories to get people laughing and to try to focus on celebrating the life of a lost loved one instead of their deaths. And boy, the stories he would share sometimes. I wish I knew the full details of this story, but at this particular funeral, we were there and Brother Ed was officiating it, and I was sitting next to Pastor Nicole, and Brother Ed's, he's sharing these stories that oftentimes you're like, I have no idea where this is going. I don't know why he's sharing this right now. And I realized later he's doing it just to get people to laugh. They oftentimes had nothing to do with what he was talking about. They're just there for humor. But this one particular story had a punchline so great that Pastor Nicole and I looked at each other and we promised that we would read or say this line at his funeral one day. So he's sharing a story about how he went to help somebody move. And the conclusion of the story was Pastor Ed, in an actual funeral, he said this, that he would rather be tied to a cactus naked and beaten with a dead skunk than to help anyone move furniture ever again. And honestly, I don't know why that happened. We're going to make that a t-shirt or something. I mean, it's just so good. It's because we've all been there, you know? We've all been there. Yeah, he had a way. He had a way. He would often share about a dream that God had given him of giving people golden tickets to heaven once they had put their faith in Jesus. And he wanted to give everyone at every funeral an opportunity to get a golden ticket. And Brother Ed has cashed his golden ticket in. Our relationship started out a little bit rough with me being threatened with death over saying something bad about Texas, but our relationship ended in quite a different place. Over the last 5 to 7 years or so, I watched Brother Ed display the love of Jesus in so many ways in my life. He would go out of his way to make things right with me if he ever felt like he had wronged me in some way. And at our church, we do a big Thanksgiving meal each year, and we give these things. We call them staffies. They're little awards that just commemorate something dumb you did throughout the year most of the time. And it's just fun for us to be able to, you know, poke fun at each other. And Brother Ed got a staffie for this moment because we were in a staff meeting one day, and I don't remember what was happening, but apparently I was being a little bit of a brown noser to one of our one of our executive staff members, and he'd had enough of it. And at some point, he said, "I don't mean any disrespect. I really don't." But he said, "Tim, if you just, you know, politely remove your nose there, we could get on with the staff meeting." Which, I come from a family that we're very into, like, picking on each other. So I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever heard, especially from Brother Ed. He normally didn't do that kind of stuff, but he was just on fire that day. Everybody got a real good laugh out of it. He got a staffy out of it. But, you know, he actually was super upset about it afterwards. And he felt like he had humiliated me, or he didn't. But he felt like he had wronged me in that meeting. And so maybe a week went by, and he comes into my office, and he says, "Hey, I need to talk to you." And I said, "Okay, what?" You know, I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm going to get threatened again. No. But he comes in, and he says, "Hey, I need you to know that I've repented for how I treated you in that staff meeting. I've confessed my sins. I've asked the Lord to forgive me, and I'm here to ask you to forgive me. And I've brought you something as a sign of my forgiveness." And he presents me with a knife, beautiful knife. I am not a knife guy at all. And so he's spending quite a bit of time explaining to me how amazing this knife is. And he's showing me all the details and all these things. And as he's doing it, literally a tear is coming to his eye as he's handing me this knife. And I'm getting the picture that, like, this is really meaningful to him. This is something significant. And so I tried to refuse it. Of course, he wouldn't allow that, because then it's not real repentance if I don't receive the gift. And so I took it, and it's been very dear to me. But just that man's heart, that he felt like he'd wronged me. This is a different man than the man that was threatening me in the lobby. He was generous to me, and he tried to bless me in different ways with things that he thought I would appreciate or could share with my kids. I watched him be kind and generous to my oldest son, who had recently, I mean, just within the last 2 months, my oldest has gotten into collecting coins and sports cards, you know, baseball cards, football cards, things like that. And if you know Brother Ed, he's into everything old. So I was telling my son, or I was telling Ed about it, and he said, "Well, bring him in. I'll show him some stuff." I said, "Okay." So we schedule it. We brought him in one day during work. And Quinn was in with him for like 45 minutes to an hour that day. It was incredible. And Brother Ed just took so much and showing him all this different stuff. And when I get home from work that day, Quinn comes up to me and he's telling me everything that Brother Ed had shared with him. And he said, and he gave me a tip for life. I said, "Oh, yeah? What? Okay, it was probably don't say anything bad about Texas, I think." But it wasn't. His tip was this: make friends with old people, because they got lots of cool stuff, and they love giving it to little kids like you. So Quinn made a new friend that day. Ed's Texas man, but he's a Christian man. Ed deeply loved his wife. And here in the last several years, he would often take time to talk with me about enjoying just the time that you have. And I think he had overheard me say something about how much I hate shopping. And he sat me down and he said, let me tell you something. One day you're not going to get the opportunity to do that anymore. So why don't you just go love your wife and enjoy shopping? And I was like, yes, sir. No need to pull out the judge. I get it. Brother Ed was always wanting to grow in his relationship with Jesus. And he would even ask me, of all people, the same kid he threatened to shoot once, about stuff he had read in the Bible during his devotions, and he wanted to know what my thoughts were about it. A few months ago, after the loss of our senior pastor, I decided to just share with people what they meant to me. And I decided to go and share with Ed how much he had meant to me. And in the last several years, I had grown to appreciate him. His hard work, his faithfulness and love for Jesus, his care for his people, or for his family, and his love for people. Brother Ed then shared with me the things he was proud of me for and how much growth he had seen in my life. He told me he was proud of me and honored to serve Jesus with me. So as I've gotten older, I look back on those first memories with Brother Ed a little bit differently because I know him now. The flip-flops weren't about not wearing proper shoes to work. It was about being able to help people if they needed it. I wouldn't be able to run into a burning building and rescue somebody if I had flip-flops on. The speeding through the parking lot wasn't him trying to ruin my fun. It was him being concerned about the families with little children running through the parking lot after church that I wasn't thinking about. Now, me making a comment about Texas and being threatened for it, I'm not sure how that conveys his love and care for people. But what I know is this. I hope that every man in Texas is like Brother Ed. If they are, Texas must be a pretty special place to live. And I know why he would be willing to shoot a teenager to protect its dignity. Brother Ed was a great man, and it was an honor to know him. He will be missed, but not forgotten. And I close today by sharing a poem on behalf of Brother Ed's daughter, Stephanie. It's titled, Until We Meet Again. Those special memories of you will always bring a smile. If only I could have you back for just a while. Then we could sit and talk again, just like we used to do. You always meant so very much, and always will do too. The fact that you're no longer here will cause me pain, but you're forever in my heart until we meet again. Thank you, guys.
Well, it's my privilege to be with you this afternoon. I do want to say, Pastor Tim, just for the record, he never threatened me with the judge, just so you know. If I can have you just for a few more moments, and as we continue to honor Pastor Ed. Pastor Ed was my friend, as he was a friend to so many of us. Ed was my peer in ministry for 26 years, employed here himself at Only Believe for 31 years, I believe. Director of pastoral care, oversaw all the funerals, hospital visitations, and if you know anything about that business, that's a 24-hour-a-day job. And it never stops. Over the security of the church, which he was very passionate about, and he was often very quick to remind us at times when we ever violated security protocol. Ed was one of the big reasons that this church was stable as it was for the last 31 years. It would not have been the same without him. Ed, if you know anything about Ed, Ed is very, very, very consistent and very detailed. Very detailed. If he was directed to do something one way in 1993, he will be doing it the exact same way in 2024 and would not have changed not one thing about it. Often when he would take some time for vacation or be away from the office for a few days, there were a couple of us in the office that were sort of his backup for funerals and stuff, and he had created a packet of detail of what you do in every instance you could face while he was gone. And every time he would leave, he would come and give me one of these packets. And I never had the heart to tell him, I already got 20 copies of this thing. But every time he went away, he'd come with the same packet again just to make sure we were detailed and what we were doing in the office while he was gone. But Ed is somebody that I greatly admire for many different reasons. And he was a big collector, very knowledgeable, so many different things, did so many different things in his life. And as Pastor Tim was sharing, even my own son Ryan connect with him through knives, had a relationship with him and talked to him about knives and spent time with him on that. And I believe actually my son respected him in such a way that the very first knife he ever made that he gave away to Ed. That's the kind of guy Ed was, to connect down to the generation with things that he was passionate about. And if you did not know, Pastor Ed was a giant, huge fan of old school professional wrestling. I just broke some news to you there, I bet. As a matter of fact, in Ed's honor last night, some of you older folk know this guy, I watched a documentary on a guy named Ric Flair. Now see, if Ed was still here tomorrow in the office, I would have told him that I watched this documentary and he and I would have talked professional wrestling probably for an hour and a half after that. Very passionate about his professional wrestling. And Ed also said, by the way, he said as a staff we would never get rid of him, that he actually believed that he was going to die in one of our staff meetings. He would say that. And he said it jokingly, but if you know anything about our staff meetings, that's entirely possible. So, but one thing we cannot not do at Pastor Ed's funeral is talk about Jesus and talk about the hope that we have in him. For that, he was adamant in these kind of moments. So just for a couple of moments, let me just share some things with you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1 says this, that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Among them, verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. Verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, but then a time to dance. For we know that life can be full, life can be very vibrant, but also life, it can be fragile. As we were discussing Ed and what happened with him, we just thought it was, just to speak plainly with you, the dumbest thing in the world. That he survived through all that he survived through, his heart and his health issues, and then boom, something like that happens. And then we're reminded that life is fragile. But death is simply a moment in time. See, death is not the end of a person. Yes, the physical body is dead, but it's not the end of a person. And if we think that way, it is a mistake, because then it discounts the future that is in front of us and the account that we must give for our lives. And if we think that death is the end of a person, it also removes our hope. Because what the gospel teaches us is there's hope beyond death. See, the spirit, after the body is dead, finds its place to the point of eternity. And in this, we must be reminded and be sure we give account for. And for those who are saved, those who have given their life to Jesus, we may find comfort and hope in the face of a time such as this. But just to say this, while we are here, don't take for granted the life that we have. Don't take for granted the lives of those that are around us that we're in relationship with, family and friends. See, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says this. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, talking about the body, we have a building from God, talking about heaven, not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon which our house, which is in heaven. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, but yet we are confident and willing rather to be absent from the body than we are present with the Lord. And for those who believe in Jesus, who have called upon his name in salvation, these verses offer hope and comfort for when the physical body dies. For when the physical body ceases to breathe any longer, our spirit is present with the Lord in heaven. In a state of perfection that does not ever go away, it is eternal. And it removes the imperfections of this world in which we are leaving. This is the beginning of the reward of salvation and eternity with God. And the thing about God is that he is faithful to his promises. See, physical death is not the end, but it is the entrance into eternity. And for those who believe in Jesus, it's an eternity with God. And whenever Ed would begin a funeral and read the obituary, he always would make a big deal about the fact that it was the homecoming for that person. The homecoming. See, Ed had his homecoming Monday night. We're simply here talking about what happened already. In this, we believe. But see, then there are those that are left here. Those in this room, family and friends. And yes, we understand the homecoming is a celebration, but there is the bittersweet aspect of our mourning together. For those of us who are here left to mourn, family and friends, let me just share a couple things with you. In Lamentations chapter 3, it says this. It says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall, and I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning. Great Lord is your faithfulness. See, in the midst of questions and wonders and why do things happen the way they do, those things can often drive us away from God. But it's in these kind of moments that we have to turn to him and grab hold. That God can be our comfort in these times and bring us the peace that he instills within us as we continue to go on. A peace, as Philippians chapter 4 says, it passes all our understanding and begins to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. See, as we read in Ecclesiastes, there is a time to weep. But yet, because God is a God who always puts the future in front of us, even in death, there will be a time to laugh. And yes, there are times that we will find ourselves in mourning. But because God is faithful and his promises are true, that mourning eventually will turn into dancing. To allow him to do that kind of work in your life. I heard this said once, and I think it's so true, that our mourning, when we mourn somebody like Ed that we've lost, in a sense, it's a protest. Because our mourning says, this isn't right. This is not what God intended. This is the result of a messed up world. And we begin to protest in our mourning. But I heard that kind of a mourning, it carves deep caverns within us for the greater capacity to receive the joy of the wonders of God as he is making all things new. Because it's in our mourning that big picture points us to hope. That we live in this messed up world, but this isn't the end of the story. The book hasn't been closed on this. This is just a moment in time. And God is making all things new. He started it the moment he rose from the dead and came out of that grave. And he'll bring it into finality when he returns again and there's a new heaven and a new earth. And at that moment, resurrected bodies. It's in this that we hope. So it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We're comforted in the times right now as God begins to grab us and bring us peace, but we're also comforted knowing that there's hope in the life to come. And in this we believe. And in this we grab hold. And in this we never let go. Because what God is doing, he is fixing this messed up world. And he'll fix this too. Because death has been defeated. And those who believe on Jesus, there's a time coming when the resurrection of the dead will happen and our eternity is with him. All things made new. Ed believed this. And he believed it with his whole heart, his entire being. And Ed's desire would be this. If there's anybody in this room right now, right here in this moment, you do not believe on Jesus, and you haven't given your life to him, and allow him come into your life to forgive you of your sins, and not just forgive you, begin to teach you what it means to live free from sin, that you do that in this moment today. And the wonderful thing about God is it's not complicated. It's just simply crying out and calling on his name, asking him to forgive you. And here's the thing, listen to this. If you can capture this, it changes absolutely everything. God loves you. And he wants to forgive you and give you life. Allow him to do so today. And the most wonderful thing we can walk away from today is to know that maybe there's people in this room that today just said, okay, Jesus, have your way. I'm going to quit running. I'm going to quit fighting. I'm going to quit questioning. I'm just going to give my life. If you do that, that wonderful honor to Ed today, I think, would just be amazing. So I'm not going to do an altar call. I'm not going to do a prayer or anything like that. But here's what I do ask. In a few moments, we're going to go eat some food. If you did that today, you find me, you find one of the staff, and talk to us. We want to talk to you for a few moments before you leave today. But call on him. The loving God's just going to grab you and hold you and show you what life is really all about. So I'm going to close with something that Regina came across when she was going through some things after Ed passed. And she came across a couple papers that said some of my thoughts, some things that Ed wrote down. So I'm going to read these to you. Today, yesterday, and tomorrow are the same. God is eternal, the same, always, and forever. I was birthed into this world, a miracle. But how long it seemed for me to find my way. Praise God for his divine patience. In my brief moment, I am sorry for having done so little, though I would quibble with that. It was only yesterday I giggled with glee as my mother tickled my tummy. God help me be brave and dignify your labor. Just clay, just clay. Only you know what transpired and became in this world because of you in me. I can't see that far. God bless my wife, my love. Regina is my treasure. Thank you for my life's love. Things I like: weak old puppies, fresh spring air, the smell of cookies baking, my wife's laugh, fresh hot apple pie, my daughter's voice, the handshake of a friend, my Bible, a clear night sky with diamonds lighting the heaven. Thank you for my life. All things are possible if you only believe. Believe what God says about you. Speak it. Live it. Strive for the prize daily. Dishonor not his name. Show God's grace to all. Walk in love. It takes God's grace to stand in adversity when others claim your labor. Ultimately, God knows the true authorship. Forgive me, Father, of my sin in thought and deed. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God grant me another day, and I'll try to do better. I wonder if there's jewelers in heaven. What will I do? My darling Regina, I love you. Love, Ed. We're going to stand and sing one another Pastor Ed's favorite songs, and I'll come back and just close this up. Stay in fellowship for a while and share some stories about Ed. Now, I will say this. This is how Ed would often say this. It's a hot meal. It's not a cold meal. It's just some sandwiches like you get at other places, all right? It's a hot meal out there. But let me pray as we head out today. Lord, we thank you for our time together honoring and remembering Ed. I pray, Lord, that you're with us as we go. You instill peace within us. And I pray, Lord, that there's things about his life that spur us on into the future, Lord. Things that he taught us and things that he meant to us, Lord. And we know his memory will never leave us, but I pray, Lord, as we embody things that he taught us and the things that he showed us, that he's going to continue to live on. And we thank you for that. We thank you for our time with him, Lord. And I pray as we go in grace and peace and comfort today. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Amen. So please make your way out to the lobby. We'll be ready to serve in just a few moments. Thank you for coming out today.